Well, we're still kind of in the beginning part of the series that we're calling prayer, the foundation of faith. And you may not think about prayer as being the foundation of our faith, but prayer is the foundation of our faith. It's what God has gifted us with. He's given us this incredible gift to be able to meet with Him in a sacred, holy place in His presence where He says, you can meet with me, even though I am a holy, hallowed, the set apart one, you can come in and talk with me. And you can share what's going on in your life, and you can share the presence of me. But we don't always look at prayer like that, because prayer, quite often, we looked at it as kind of like a necessary evil of the Christian faith. We don't like to do it. There's a lot of people that don't want to do it, even at Thanksgiving, around the Thanksgiving table. They're afraid of it. Right now, if I would ask, I would say, hey, could I get somebody to come up and pray before I start preaching? Probably 3/4 of you would run out of the room, because we're afraid of it. But God says, I've given you a gift, and prayer is the foundation of your faith. It's when you really bear down and start to pray is when you grow. When you feel like your life is falling apart and you're wondering how can you even hold it together, it's when you get down on your knees and you pray and you meet with God that you actually see your spiritual faith take off. Prayer is the foundation of the church as well. And I'm afraid that the church has forgotten that. We forgot that we're supposed to come together as one another and pray for these people that are sitting here. We're supposed to pray for the people that are outside the walls. And prayer is the foundation. It's the pillar of the church. But yet we kind of look at it as something that we just go through the motions with. Jesus says, don't go through the motions. Don't make it a religious spiritual act, but actually have a humble heart. Do it because your heart is aching to connect with God. Not because you want to get something with God, but because you want to learn something from Him. You want Him to reveal something that He hasn't revealed to you before. And Jesus, and if you remember last week, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Matthew chapter 6. And this is the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of the model prayer. And it's a prayer that it's not just a, this is an instruction on how to get God to do what you want Him to do. But this is Jesus saying that this is how you approach God. Because in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which is your homework for the next at least 4 weeks, is to read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been teaching these powerful lessons about how to become kingdom people. How do we live right here on this earth? Because there's a reality, there's a kingdom on earth that's happening. And then Jesus taught that there's another reality, that there's a kingdom of heaven, which is overarching all of that. And He says, now that you've came into a relationship and you call yourself a disciple, you say that you believe in me as your Savior, now this is how you're to live. You're not to live in the earthly kingdom anymore. You're supposed to be living in the heavenly kingdoms. And that's the kingdom of God. And in that kingdom, there is a king. And He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He will always be the king of that kingdom. And that kingdom has no end. But Jesus says, this earthly kingdom, it has an end. One day that it'll be left in ruins. But the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom that we're supposed to be living in right here and right now, is going to last all throughout eternity. And He will reign in that kingdom. And Jesus says, now that you're my children, now that you're walking with God, now that you've accepted me, this is how you're supposed to start living. And then at the end of that Sermon on the Mount, He places this incredible prayer. This incredible prayer is to get us to get into the presence of God and recognize who we're approaching. And He starts out in verse 6 saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And He's saying, when you get in prayer, take a moment before you even get there and shift gears. Remember who you're speaking to. Remember that God is holy. Remember that He is righteous. Remember that He is the set apart one. Remember that His name is above all names, and His name is going to endure throughout all generations. Remember He is other than us. Holy, righteous, merciful, mighty. He's like, get into that frame. And I'll be honest, I haven't been able to get out of that frame this week, honestly. After I preached last week, every time I'm approaching God in prayer, it's like I keep stopping at, God, you are beautiful. God, you are lovely. You are holy. You are hallowed. You are righteous. You are the set apart one. And I haven't been able to get out of that because I forgot how much I need to be in awe and really revere God. And Jesus says, when you approach Jesus, make sure you're approaching God this way in prayer. Holy, awesome, mighty set apart one. And he says, and then as you go into that prayer, remember, he's in heaven, but remember something. He's your heavenly Father. It means you have a Father in heaven. Maybe you don't have a Father on earth. Maybe your father relationship is broken here, but he says, you have a heavenly Father who is perfect that is never going to abandon you. And I love what it says before this verse, and I'm kind of stuck on this in my own thought process. And verse 8, it says this. It says, do not be like them. Do not be like who? Do not be like the religious people. Don't be like the person who wants to be seen praying. Don't be like the person who's getting all their satisfaction from getting the glory of man because of the prayers that they're saying. Don't be showy with it. Don't just do it as a routine. So don't be like them. And then he goes, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I'm kind of stuck on that. I don't even, in my heart, I don't think I've recognized this. Because my prayers are a lot like your prayers sometimes. Is I have a laundry list. I have, God, I want you to do this. God, please hurry up. I need you now to arrive on the scene to take care of this situation. God, I need you to do my bidding. God, here, can I inform you? What God, this is what's going on right now. I am broken. I am hurt. I am lost. God, it's like we go through all that and we inform God and we tell him what to do. Instead, it's like, no, wait a minute. He's your Father. He already knows what you need even before you open your lips. Before you utter a word, he knows. Just like he knew that you and I would need a Savior. Before the foundations of the earth, he said, I'm going to send my Son into the world. You didn't know you needed a Savior. But because he's a good and awesome Father, he says, this is what you're going to need. So when you go into prayer sometimes and you don't know what to say because there's some situations right now that I'm praying over, I don't know what to say. God already knows. And you know what God is saying? He's saying, just come into my presence. Because when you're in my presence, you're going to find peace. In my presence, I already know. You can just bask here. I will comfort you. I will hold you, and I want you to see my love. You don't have to utter words. You don't have to get all big and elaborate, because I already know. It's okay. God wants a relationship with us. God wants us to be in his presence. And he wants to reassure us, I know what you're going through. So don't get a big, long laundry list of stuff. Just get into my presence. And then Jesus kind of says that the reality of this verse is that God knows all things. The reality, God is already doing things on your behalf even before you get into his presence. That's the reality of that verse. And then he begins to go through this verse. And I would like you to say this with me. And I want you to read it right off the screen in Matthew chapter 9, or chapter 6, verse 9. This then, say it out loud with me, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we are given our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And Jesus is just saying, this is how to pray. This is how to engage with this holy, righteous, set apart God. We're just going to take second section of this, which is in verse 10, where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The shift that we have to make there, the other shifts were shifts that we need to make, like an manual transmission. You can be kind of in first gear your whole life and your whole spiritual journey, but you're just winding that transmission out. You're really not going anywhere. He says you need to make a shift into second gear, third gear, fourth gear, and if you got an 18-wheeler, maybe you got to go get up to 17, 18 speeds or whatever's on those trucks. He says you need to be willing to shift. It's not an automatic transmission, your spiritual journey. You have to be able to shift. And one of the shifts that he says that we need to make in our prayers is, yes, holy God, holy Father, holy are you. Your name is above all names. set apart. He says, that's one shift. Next shift is this, that it's not about you. Your prayers aren't about you. This world, this kingdom, this earthly kingdom is not about you. The heavenly kingdom is not about you either. He says very, very clearly, he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not about us. We go into prayer and we think it's about us, don't we? We think it's about us getting something from God. It's about my agenda. It's about my will. And Jesus says, no, you got to make a shift here. When you go into prayer, you got to understand, look at the first couple lines of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see any eyes in there? It's not about us. He says, I want you to make a shift and understand that you need to set your eyes on the heavenly kingdom that is going on right now while this earthly kingdom is going on. But I want you to set your eyes on God because his kingdom is the overarching kingdom that lasts forever. The earthly kingdom is going to be done away with. God's will is that this is how the earth has been established. This is when it's going to end. God has a will, he has a plan, and it's going to go out and be established just like he says it's going to be. And Jesus said, instead of us going, God, I want you to do this. God, I want you to do this and that and this, and here's the outcome that I'm desiring. He's saying, go into his presence and going, God, your kingdom. It's all about your kingdom. It's all about your will be done. Oh, but I need God to do this. Yeah, that's okay. That'll come later where you get to ask. But Jesus says, back the train up a little bit. Be in his presence for a little bit. Recognize prayer is not about you. Prayer is about God. Prayer is about us getting on the same page as God, not about God getting on the same page as us. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And he says, focus on these things because this earthly kingdom, it's going to pass away. And this earthly kingdom, it's broken. This earthly kingdom is dying. This earthly kingdom, there's brokenness, there's heartache, there's nothing but pain and sorrow here, isn't there? Yeah, there's joyful moments, but there's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of emptiness. And Jesus says, don't focus on that kingdom. Focus on the kingdom that's going to be an eternal kingdom. That's a perfect kingdom, and it's going to be coming one day. Jesus says it a little bit different in Luke, if you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about how, you know, even being a follower of Christ, it's not about you. It's really about what you can do for God. It's not what God can do for you. And he kind of takes this little view, and he says this in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He says, then he, which is Jesus, said to them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. And Jesus says that we got to start taking our eyes off of what we want. Our desires. We've got to take our eyes off of this earthly kingdom. We've got to deny ourselves and the things that we want here and put it on the heavenly kingdom. And we have to set our sights so and our gaze on that kingdom so intense that this worldly kingdom, we lose sight of the worldly kingdom. And we deny ourselves. We lay our lives down and we say, take my life. Use it how you want. Your will be done here. Your will be done in my life and in my marriage and in my relationships at school where I'm at. Your will be done. Your kingdom's coming. Because you can focus on the world all you want. You can choose to try to do everything here and get all the possessions and get everything of your heart's desire here, but something's going to happen. You're going to lose your life. Or some version, that the next verse says, what good is for a man... This is verse 25. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his very self? Or other versions say, forfeit his soul. So if we're focused on this earthly kingdom, and we're letting the earthly kingdom impact our heart and in our lives and our minds and define who we are, we're forfeiting our soul. Jesus says, set your eyes on the heavenly kingdom. Set our desires on the heavenly kingdom, and God's will be done, not my will be done. And it says, on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, in heaven, his will is being done, isn't it? The angels don't debate with God. The angels don't tell what God to do. They don't question God and say, gee, I can't believe that you created this earth and you've let these people do this thing. They don't do that. They do whatever God instructs because his will be done, because he is holy, righteous, and in charge and is the king of the universe. And all things have to submit to his authority. And Jesus says, now look up. If you let the world impact you, that's who you're going to be. You go after your earthly desires, that's going to define you. Go after heavenly, that's going to change you. You're going to start living in the kingdom because Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is here and now, and you and I got to start living in it. And he says, this is how you do it. And then he goes, if anyone is ashamed of me, in this verse 26, and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of all the holy angels. See, everything's about the glory of God. Jesus is saying there's been a plan that's been set in motion. There's a story that began, and it's God's story. And it's all about God. It's all about his glory. It's all about his kingdom that's coming. It's all about him reigning. And Jesus says, you can join into that now, or you might miss the boat. And then he says, don't get caught up in the earthly distractions. Don't get caught up in the earthly kingdom. Don't get caught up in all the brokenness that's here. Don't get caught up in all the material possessions that are here. Don't get caught in getting more and more and more and achieving. Get caught up in the heavenly kingdom and God's will. Otherwise, you might forfeit your soul. He said, this is why we want to focus on thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not our will. And this is why we focus on his kingdom coming, because his kingdom is coming. One day this earthly kingdom is going to be destroyed. I know this sounds doom and gloom, but it's going to happen because God said this is going to happen. He says in Revelations, he says it this way, Revelation 11:15, it says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there was a loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The reality is that this earth is going to be done away with, and that one kingdom, the heavenly kingdom that we're supposed to be living in right now, that we're supposed to be setting our gazes on and our eyes completely fixed on, that kingdom is going to come, and it's an eternal kingdom. And heaven and earth are going to collide, and they become one. He says, it's going to happen, so why don't you join in it now? Set your eyes on these things. Second Peter says it a little bit different. He said, this is why we focus on thy kingdom come, because it's coming. He says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. In other words, I'm reminding you of the truths of God, that God's kingdom is coming, that his kingdom is reigning, that everything is about his glory. I want to remind you of that so that you, instead of just living your earthly life and just going through the motions of your faith, that you begin to have wholesome living because you're reminded of what's coming. And he says, this is what's coming. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Verse 3 in 2 Peter. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. It's like reminding us. Remember who did this? Remember who set the world in motion? Remember who set the starry hosts in the heavens? It wasn't you. It was God. He said, don't forget that. Remember he has a plan, and it's a kingdom plan, and it's a powerful plan. And he says, by these waters, in verse 6, by these waters also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. In other words, he's talking about the times of Noah when the flood came. And then verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. Did you hear that? That this earthly kingdom is going to be done away with? It's going to be destroyed. And when God's righteousness comes down and he sets his foot on this earth, it says ungodly men, ungodly women will be destroyed. And can I just insert here? If you are somebody that does not believe in Jesus Christ, I want to urge you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to urge you to consider surrendering your life to him, because at some point, we don't know when this is going to happen, that Jesus is going to return, and when he returns and when this happens, when heaven meets earth and the earth is destroyed, it will be too late. And it's not doom and gloom. This is what God says is going to happen. He's got the plan. His kingdom's an eternal kingdom, and his kingdom is going to reign. And he says, but we're in a time right now where there's scoffers. Look around us. At no other time in history have we seen so many scoffing and mocking Christianity, mocking Christ. We have Christians that say that they're Christians that aren't even following Christ. They're not submitting their lives to Christ at all. They're saying, where is your God? We're in the times of scoffers. Don't be surprised by that. But Peter says, let him scoff. Remember who he is. Remember he's got a plan. Remember that his kingdom's going to come. He says, but don't forget this one thing. In verse 8, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So why is God's kingdom not coming right now and crushing this earthly kingdom? Because of God's grace and mercy. Because of probably somebody sitting in this room right now, your heart is not right with God. You haven't accepted him. You haven't turned your life over to him. And he's saying, I'm waiting for you. Because my desire is that people don't perish, but that they would repent. That they would confess their sins and they would turn away from them. And they would accept my son as their Savior. Why is the delay? Because we have a merciful God. He doesn't want to lose anybody. He wants everybody to be in that eternal kingdom that is coming. And so 1,000 days, or a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, it's not a formula. It's just talking about how patient our God is with us. Because he loves us, and he wants us to be in that eternal kingdom forever with him. And then he goes on in verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you be? So what are we supposed to be like? The Sermon on the Mount tells us what we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to be kingdom people. We're supposed to be people that are loving one another. We are supposed to be people that are loving our neighbors. We are supposed to be people that are praying for our enemies. We are supposed to be people that are following God's word. We are supposed to be not earthly. We're supposed to be kingdom-minded. God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom, which is much different than this earth. He said, you ought to be holy people. You ought to be godly people. Look at what he says next. He says, what kind of people ought you be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Our lives should be a reflection of our Heavenly Father in this world. We should not let sin define who we are. Now, you can't do this on your own, and God knew that, because he already knew your needs before you even had the need. So he gave his Holy Spirit to you. So that way you can live a life that is pleasing and holy and godly right here in this earthly kingdom. You can start living a heavenly kingdom life. Which is, now you're a representative of him in the world. He says, this is possible through him. Stop focusing on earth in this earthly kingdom. But heavenly kingdom. Since we know all these things are going to happen. We don't know the day. These are the kind of peoples that we should be. And then he says, as you look forward, and this is verse 12, as you look forward to the day of God and speed is coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. It's going to be quite a day. We get a lot of people celebrating that the Lord's Day, right? The Lord's Day is going to be a powerful day of judgment. There's going to be so much fire that every element is going to melt. this earthly kingdom is going to be completely consumed, and the heavenly kingdom that exists right now is going to be consumed. And there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven, but it's going to be one kingdom under God. He said, this is what's going to happen. So start living it now. Because that eternal kingdom goes on and on and on. And he says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to this new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So we set our eyes on this heavenly kingdom. That heavenly kingdom, what's it like? The glory of God. What's it like? Who's there? Jesus, the Lamb, God the Father, the King. It's a place where there's no brokenness, there's no sorrow. It's a place where righteousness and justice always prevail. It's a place that is not dying like this world. This world is dying. Maybe you didn't notice it. I mean, I saw a bumper sticker that said, save the planet. Not going to happen, is it? It's going to be burned up. It's going to be melted. We should be stewards. We should do our part, right? While we're here, we're stewards of the earth. We don't want to purposely try to destroy it. But maybe it should be save the people instead of save the planet. Because this earth is going to be destroyed. This earthly kingdom. And his kingdom is coming. And Jesus says, when you're praying, you need to focus on that. And Peter goes on in verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And isn't that a powerful phrase? Isn't it a convicting phrase? In light of this kingdom that's going to be coming, in light of this earthly kingdom that's going to be done away with, and it's going to be one big ash heap, and then a new kingdom, and a new heaven is going to be established. In light of these things, shouldn't we be people who are living lives not glorifying sin? Shouldn't we be people that are spotless? Shouldn't we be people that are at peace with God? So that's why when we go into prayer, we need to make a big shift. We need to go, your kingdom come. Because this kingdom's coming. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And the reality is, if we're focused on this earth, we're not going to be focused and we're not going to be ready for heaven. We're going to miss the kingdom when it comes. The reality, too, is that God has placed you here on earth. You are, yes, in a heavenly kingdom. We're supposed to be focused on a heavenly kingdom, but you're here. Wherever you are, you need to bring a piece of the kingdom of heaven with you. God poured his Holy Spirit into you, and you are his representative here on earth right now. Whether you're at school, whether you're at work, and maybe you say, oh, you don't know my workplace, it's a toxic place, and you like to whine about it and complain about it, it's full of gossip and blah, 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 blah. Tell you what, instead of gossiping and joining the gossip, how about bringing a piece of the kingdom of heaven there with you? Because I can't bring that there. It's not my job to even bring it there. It's your job. When you're at school, when you're in your home with your spouse, instead of having arguments, instead of trying to prove who's right and who's wrong, how about bringing a little bit of kingdom of heaven there and showing love and mercy and grace? When you don't get along with your children because they're doing stupid things, because children do stupid things, we know that. And instead of chastising them and telling them that they're stupid, they're worthless, that we go, let's bring a piece of heaven here. Dude, you really messed up. But I loved you. I love you intensely. And I'm never going to abandon you. I'm never going to say you're worthless. How about let's have a little bit more grace? And how about the church? Let's start bringing the kingdom of heaven here. The church is supposed to be a place where when people walk through the doors, that they experience the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe that? I want our church to be that place where people come in here. We're going to take a little sidetrack because we're talking about prayer. And what does this look like practically? It means that we pray for one another. It means that you and I every single day we wake up and we look around this church in our mind and pray. Most of you have been prayed for. In fact, every one of you has been prayed for in one manner or another this week. I take a snapshot. I know where most of you sit because you guys are full of routines. There's some of you that are guests. I prayed for you this week. You have been prayed for. You have been lifted up. I have been praying for strength. I have been praying for the power of God to reveal the power of His Spirit in your life. And that you would be strengthened, that you'd have the peace of God on your life. And that you would come in here and that you would meet this holy God. How about you and I practically start lifting one another up? Not just go, oh, their marriage. Oh, so sorry about their marriage. And it turns into the gossip circle. But we go, I'm face down for my brother and sister in Christ that are struggling. And I'm going to lift them up until God's kingdom comes here on earth. A family's struggling with a child. And they're doing drugs. They're cutting themselves. Not gossiping about it, but laying down our hearts and getting up every single morning and going, I'm going to pray for them. They're struggling with sickness. Oh, they're poor sick. No. We're going to just lay down in front in the presence of God and say, may your kingdom come. But there's been a burden on my heart that this whole week. You know that I'm not weird. Well, I might be weird. There's been a spirit that has been in this church. There's a spirit of deception that we kicked out of here. No, I'm sorry, not deception, of disunity. But there's also a spirit that has entered this church of deception. It's deceiving our brothers and sisters. And we have let that spirit come in. Please don't think I'm weird, because this is coming from the depth of who I am. I would ask that the band would come forward. And I want to take a moment. I would ask Jim and Niall and Steve. We want to do something that's a little bit different. I'm going to ask if you guys would come with me while they start to play. They're not going to sing yet. They're just going to start to play this song. I want you to bow your heads right where you're at. And I want you to plead for this church. For people that you know that are hurting. People that you know that are overwhelmed. And we are going to go, you'll be able to hear me because Dwayne's going to keep me on. But we're going to anoint the doorposts of this church. And we are going to once and for all kick out this spirit of deception, because there's not going to be another marriage that's going to fall in this church. Because we have a God that is bigger than this world. There's not going to be another lonely person, because we are going to become the body and we're going to show that love and that mercy. And when we're sinning and we're messing up, we're going to hold each other one accountable for what we're doing. We're going to be a holy church. A church that is set apart for God's purposes here on earth. We're going to be a little bit of the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. So we're just going to invite God, just to His Spirit, just to come down into our church right now. And just to heal, to mend, and above all, to kick out these spirits that have got in here. So we're going to be out and just continue to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. You are a glorious and holy, mighty God. And God, we just give this church to you. We anoint these doorposts in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, we rebuke any spirit that has got in here that has caused deception within the body of believers here. We rebuke the spirit of disunity. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Spirit would begin to fill this place, and that your kingdom would come down. And when we come here, Lord, we know that you are here. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, we give you this church, we give you this body, we give you this staff. And Lord, we just would ask that you would do great and marvelous things. In Jesus' mighty name.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.